Chapter 60. London, March 1946. Alice makes her way along Upper Street. She is aware of the strange figure she cuts. She has not yet regained her healthy weight, and her form floats in the too large dress and coat, donations from her Swedish hosts. Her skin is greyish, her hair thin and lank. She has never been vain, but she avoids the reflections of shop windows all the same. All about her is the evidence of the bombing. Yawning craters expel powdered mortar onto the wind. They are building sites now, and men crawl over the rubble, working busily with picks and shovels. Alice hurries her step. She cannot allow herself to entertain the possibility that Tom's home may, at this moment, be spilling onto the street in a mess of masonry and glass. It is Rosa who answers the door. She is unmistakable. The wide-set blue eyes, the chin with its unusual dimple, and even the seraphic dark gold hair, all unaltered since childhood. Forgetting how she herself has changed, Alice waits for some sign of answering recognition from her. None comes.
"Can I help you?" Rosa asks. "Is Tom Stafford here?"
Rosa shakes her head.
"No, he isn't, I'm afraid. He's in Corsica. What is it about?"
Alice can't be sure exactly why she does it. Perhaps it is the humiliation of not being recognized, or realizing how much she must have changed. Or perhaps it is that she doesn't feel like Alice Eversley anymore, as though the last vestiges of the person she was were sloughed away in that place.
"My name is Celia," she says. "I'm a friend of Tom's. I wanted to ask..."
She stalls. What is it exactly that she wants to know?
"I wanted to ask, is he well?"
Alice can feel Rosa's curious gaze upon her.
"Would you like to come inside for a cup of tea?"
When they are both sitting at the kitchen table, Rosa, who has been studying Alice's face with new scrutiny, says,
"I'm sorry, but what did you say your name was?"
"Celia."
"Because, you know, looking at you again, I could have sworn..."
She shakes her head.
"It must simply be a likeness. You remind me of someone I knew ever so long ago. Look,"
she places a sponge cake on the table between them.
"Can I offer you a slice? I hope you don't mind me saying, but it seems you could do with it."
Alice looks down at herself. It is still a shock to her when she glances down and sees this frail, stranger's form, the wasted limbs and flattened chest, the body, to all intents and purposes, of an elderly woman.
"Yes," she says, "I've been unwell."
"So you've come about Tom?"
Rosa takes a bite of her cake. As she chews, Alice
sees the dimple in her round cheek show itself, exactly as it had when she was a child.
It had fascinated Alice at the time, this small detail. Rosa had always had an expressive face, and the mark had seemed to Alice like much-needed punctuation for the capricious play of emotion across her features.
"Yes,"
she remembers to say,
as Rosa looks up and catches her staring.
"How did you say you know him?"
Alice thinks quickly.
"From New York. We met in New York."
"Ah, he's all right, which is a relief. He got some shrapnel from a shell in his leg in the shin, but he's recovered well. But he wasn't quite himself when he came back from France."
Rosa lowers her voice.
"My father had some trouble after the Great War, so we feared the worst."
Alice strains to maintain an expression of friendly concern, the sort that an acquaintance should feel, without letting her real anxiety for Tom show through.
"Still, it all seems to have worked itself out now. He took himself off to Corsica. I think he'd spent some time there before the war."
Alice is already reaching for her coat and bag. Corsica. She should have known he would return there.
"And," says Rosa blithely, "he seems to have got himself married, of all things. Ma was hurt that we weren't invited, but in the circumstances, I suppose..."
She breaks off and stares at Alice.
"But my dear woman, is something the matter?"